This episode is supported by Ring, because at the end of the day, your home is your sanctuary. And with Ring, it's protected. Whether you're across the house or across the country, keeping an eye on things shouldn't be a mystery. With the Battery Doorbell, you can keep track of your packages and see more of what's happening at your front door in real time. If you want to make sure your yard is safe at night, the Outdoor Cam Plus delivers a wide field of view and enhanced video clarity with Retinal 2K video. And for the ultimate in detail, you can upgrade to 4K cameras and doorbells featuring Retinal Vision. It gives you ultra-clear footage that actually lets you zoom in without losing those important details. The Ring system is helpful every single day. Like a lot of us, most of our shopping is done online. There's a certain peace of mind that comes with knowing exactly when a package arrives while you're busy at work or running errands. It's not just about the technology. It's about the relief of knowing your home is secure. It's incredibly easy to set up, and it gives you that extra layer of protection for what matters most. Your door, your yard, your home, your peace of mind. With Ring, it's protected. Shop cameras, doorbells, and more right now at ring.com.
It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grill accessories, Wayfair's got it all. And it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game. And head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
With networks like Fox News, CNN, MS Now, and more, Sling is the best way to get the news you care about, which is great for everyone. Well, almost everyone.
Where's that dang paper, boy? I need my news outdated and rolled up like a burrito. Finally! Now I can read about what happened forever ago.
Get the most important news delivered reliably at the best price. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com/news. See your offer.
The Kansas City Chiefs are advancing to the AFC Championship game for a remarkable 7th consecutive year. And the fight for the Lamar Hunt Trophy will be on this hallowed ground. Andy's Acre at the 39th parallel line. And for Patrick Mahomes, a 7th straight AFC Championship game. Only Tom Brady more with 8. But get this one. The most playoff wins by a team in a 7-year span in NFL history. 8 consecutive postseason wins by the Kansas City Chiefs as they beat Houston 23-14.
Well, it's not quite a victory Monday, but it's close enough, right? Victory Sunday here on 96.5 The Fan After Hours, your home for Kansas City sports. Logan Weber here, joined by Quentin Morris. Kansas City Chiefs take down the Houston Texans 23-14. And like Mitch so eloquently put it, 7 consecutive trips to the AFC Championship game. I was 19 years old when the Chiefs got to that first AFC title game back in 2018. I mean, it's mind-boggling to think how I was a freshman in college the last time that the first time the Kansas City Chiefs had made. I was in high school the last time that they had not gotten to at least an AFC title game. And what is the common denominator in all this? It's number 15. It's Patrick Mahomes, it's Andy Reid, it's Travis Kelce, and this team, as they are gearing up now to host an AFC Championship game for the 6th time in this 7 straight year stretch. Absolutely unreal to be alive at the same time as Patrick Mahomes is leading the Kansas City Chiefs.
I mean, this wasn't supposed to happen right in the NFL with the way that free agency works and the salary cap and these sort of things that limit you. Parity in the NFL is supposed to be the thing, but parity seems to go out the window when you get to the playoffs, because in the NFL, in today's world, whoever has the better quarterback seems to come out on top, and Kansas City is lucky enough to have the best Josh Dawn quarterback in the NFL.
I feel so bad to some extent, right? I don't feel entirely all that bad, but I do feel a little bit bad for the other 14 organizations that are in the AFC, because you dealt with roughly 20 years of Tom Brady dominating the AFC, right? You had years here and there where an AFC team was able to usurp the Patriots, you know, Peyton Manning's Colts teams and his Broncos teams and a few others, you know, Ben Roethlisberger and the Steelers, you know, Flacco and the Ravens were able to do it once or twice, you know. But all in all, it was really like you had to go through Tom Brady if you wanted to make a Super Bowl. And when Brady finally retires and he leaves, or, you know, even prior to his retirement, he leaves and goes to Tampa Bay, you know, the AFC could kind of collectively take a breath and say, okay, you know, the possibilities are open again, right? We don't have to deal with Brady anymore. Well, in steps number 15 in Patrick Mahomes the second, and he has done what Brady did for almost 20 years with the New England Patriots, and that is make life miserable for coaches, quarterbacks, players, and organizations in the AFC, because you know, and no matter how good a year you might have, you know, we still got to go through him, right? We got to go through him. Andy Reid, when things are grim, be the Grim Reaper. Patrick Mahomes is the Grim Reaper, and he, you know, he did it again yesterday in the biggest moments of the game, right? He didn't have his most outstanding game of the year by any stretch of the imagination. He was 16 of 25 passing. He had 177 yards passing. Those are not wow stats by any means. But when it mattered, he made massive, massive plays. Most importantly, on a third down in the red zone, it's a one-score game. Chiefs really needed six at that point to push it to two scores and put Houston on their heels. He steps up in the pocket, starts to scramble around and do his thing as an extender and the quintessential extender of plays at the quarterback position in this league. And he gets tripped up. As he's falling forward, he sees Travis Kelce standing behind Allshear for the Texans, right? You see, if you watch the angle of it, when Mahomes starts to the throwing motion, Travis Kelce is directly behind the Texans linebacker Allshear. It doesn't look like there's any way, shape, or form that Kelce is going to catch this football. But Mahomes recognizes where the open spot is, which Travis is so good at getting to, and just throws an absolute seed to that part of the field while he's borderline parallel with the turf. I mean, he is literally just absolutely sprawled. He looked, the way I compared it yesterday, we were doing post-game coverage here on The Fan after the game ended, and the way that I kind of compared it to Chris Unocero, who was producing with me, was like, it was like watching somebody slide head first into second base, like just getting parallel with the ground, trying to slide into second base. That's what Mahomes looked like while throwing a football, and he hit Travis Kelce square between the 8 and the 7 on his jersey for a touchdown. Absolutely unreal.
I said he looked like he was a 2x4 out of fence that had been blown over in the storm. You know, I mean, he was falling hard, and he was still able to, I mean, that's just all pure arm strength. There was no hip movement. He wasn't able to step into that throw. That was just straight arm strength. And that's where we see the difference between guys like him and guys that get compared, whether it's in the draft or not, guys that just don't have the arm strength. You know, remember when, this will be a throwback, but like Tim Tebow, when he would throw the ball, it looked like he had to put every single little bit of his strength into throwing the ball and in order to make a pass that would go straight. And then you get guys like Patrick Mahomes that are able to just fling it with a little wrist movement. And this is where the benefit of having that multi-star athlete, where at the end of the day, he is an athlete. He's not just a quarterback.
Yeah, that's the baseball background that we hear so much about, you know, what Patrick Mahomes uses as a quarterback in this league. And when he came into the NFL, there were a lot of people who made complaints about it. You know, his lack of precise and, you know, really, really, you know, nailed down footwork, right? Which nowadays seems like an antiquated sort of approach to the quarterback position. I mean, Josh Allen doesn't have superior footwork. Joe Burrow doesn't have superior footwork. Lamar Jackson doesn't have superior footwork. But those guys are excellent throwers of the football because they're elite athletes. And I think that's a huge difference because 20, 25, 30 years ago, some of these quarterbacks weren't, you know, generally considered athletes. Was Tom Brady all that athletic at the quarterback position? No.
Not according to his combine picture.
Yeah. Was Peyton Manning an uber athletic quarterback? No. That was the approach that you used in that day and age. And nowadays it just doesn't have to work that way. And right, Mahomes' athletic ability allowed him at different times throughout the game. You know, he had a couple of big carries that extended drives, got them first downs and whatnot. But man, there's so much to get to in this game, and we're going to be on air for the next 3 hours till noon talking about all things sports here on After Hours, and a lot of it's going to have to do with this Chiefs-Texans game. I'd be remiss if I didn't, in the first segment of our show here this morning, talk about playoff Trav out in full force. Patrick Mahomes, during his post-game presser yesterday, referred to him as playoff Trav. And it was a vintage performance for the greatest tight end to ever play in the National Football League. 7 catches, 117 yards, and a touchdown. Over half of those 117 yards, I may add, occurred after the catch, including that big 49-yarder that he had that set up the Chiefs' first touchdown of the game, that one-yard run by Kareem Hunt, which I'm sure we'll talk about Kareem Hunt and his performance later on in the show. What a game for Travis Kelce, right? At the beginning of the year, you heard it all over the place. Oh, is Travis Kelce done? Is the age starting to catch up to him? Are the hits starting to catch up to him? You know, he missed a game last year, and he's off to a slow start this year. And then after the Rashee Rice injury, he was kind of relied upon to carry that mantle again. And he put together a really good month and a half of football. And then things started to kind of go back to the beginning of the season for him. Now, I think that coincided with the emergence of Xavier Worthy, with the trade for DeAndre Hopkins, with getting Hollywood Brown back in the fold, with bringing Kareem Hunt in after the Isaiah Pacheco injury and a reliance and a reliability in the run game. But now it's the playoffs. And there are just certain guys in any sport, in any era that you look at and you know are going to elevate their play. Travis Kelce is one of those guys. Patrick Mahomes is one of those guys. And another guy I'm sure we'll talk about later on here this morning, Harrison Butker, is one of those guys that their play just elevates when the moment gets bigger and bigger. Pressure creates diamonds, right? And that's the cliche we hear all the time. And those guys are diamonds when it comes time for the postseason. 7 for 117 and a score. He was absolutely phenomenal yesterday. He extended his own playoff record for receptions by a player in career postseason play. He's now up over, I believe, 100. And I think he's got 172 career postseason receptions now, because I believe he came in with 165. Second all time is Jerry Rice with 151. He's got 20 more playoff catches all time than Jerry Rice, greatest wide receiver, greatest catcher of the football that we've ever seen in this league. He's got over 2,000 career yards in the playoffs, which is about 200 yards less than Jerry Rice, and it sits at second all time. And he's now got 20 career playoff receiving touchdowns, which is second all time only to Jerry Rice, who has 22. I think it should be mentioned also that Jerry Rice played 29 career playoff games to accumulate those 151 catches, roughly 2,250 yards, and 22 receiving touchdowns. Travis Kelce has now up over 170 career catches, over 2,000 yards, and 20 receiving touchdowns in the playoffs in 23 career playoff games. So he's doing more in less than the greatest catcher of the football that we've ever seen in Jerry Rice. I love Tony Gonzalez, and I know that there's a lot of Chiefs fans who are giant, I mean, obviously, big Tony Gonzalez fans. You've got those people out there, they're going to ride with Rob Gronkowski. Okay. Travis Kelce is the best tight end to ever play in the National Football League, and I will stand by that statement until the end of time.
And you even missed one of his playoff stats that he broke. This is his 9th 100-yard playoff game, and that broke the tie with Jerry Rice. So it's getting to the point where, like, we're not just talking about him as the greatest tight end or one of the greatest tight ends. We're getting to the point where he's just one of the greatest catchers of the football in NFL history. He just so happens to play a position with the TE in front of his name. He is now going to be talked about like that. He should be talked about like that, especially if the Chiefs win the Super Bowl and they're able to progress like that. He will now be sort of built into this dynasty as the second most important piece in the dynasty because he's one of, what, four players to be a part of all of these Super Bowl runs. So, yeah, he's going to be talked about as one of the best catchers of the football, not just tight end. And the playoff stats are crazy. He seems to just hit that switch and turn it up. And I know the rest was a big thing, but he just seems to play up to the moment. And it blows my mind how the guy is just able to find an open spot. There'll be a triangle of defenders around him, and somehow he's 5 yards away from everybody.
Yeah, and I mean, he's so incredibly talented when it comes to that. And then will certainly not help an opponent when you just leave him wide open, right? On that 49-yard catch that he had, if you watch the sky view, the end zone or, whatever image of that from the Chiefs side of the field on that play, and you watch the middle of the field, Travis Kelce caught that football with nobody within 15 yards of him. How is the greatest tight end in the history of the National Football League that absurdly, obscenely wide open? I just don't understand it. And, I know that there's going to be those people that point towards the regular season numbers that Tony Gonzalez put up in his career, and rightfully so. There's people that are going to point out what Rob Gronkowski did in the regular season during his career with the New England Patriots, and rightfully so. But when we talk about the greatness of a player and the GOAT conversation, if you want to have it or not have it, the postseason is a gigantic factor in that equation. Why do many people, right? I'm not saying I agree or disagree. Why do many people consider Michael Jordan the greatest basketball player who's ever played the game? Because he won 6 NBA finals. Because when it came time for the playoffs, when it was win or go home, do or die, he was at his best and he was better than everybody else on the floor. When it comes time for the playoffs and the postseason, Travis Kelce is better than anybody who's ever played his position in the history of the sport. And I think that has a great deal of relevance when it comes to that. He's got more career postseason touchdown catches, yards, and touchdowns than Tony Gonzalez does, because Tony G was on some good teams, but not great teams. And Rob Gronkowski, as good as he was, as dominant a player as he was in his career, didn't put up the kind of numbers that Travis Kelce is putting up. And he's doing this at 35 years old. And I know that there's going to be those people that are still of the opinion, he might retire after this year, especially those that think if the Chiefs do three-peat that he'll just ride off into the sunset. I don't know. I mean, he talked during the pregame, he had that interview with Boomer. And, he said, I'm not satisfied. I'm just not satisfied with where we are. Is the three-peat going to quench that? Who knows? But if he goes out and puts together two more 100-plus yard performances and catches a couple more touchdown passes, maybe surpasses Jerry for all-time receiving yards in the playoffs and ties him in touchdowns, I'm not sure, based on the Travis Kelce that we've grown to know and love and watched over the last 10, 12 years, doesn't seem like the kind of guy that's just going to hang it up if he's still got something left in the tank.
And somehow Travis Kelce is both one of the most fluid runners of the ball. He's got great, like, that shimmy that he does. Oh, he also runs like Steve from Minecraft, where he's like, it's so blocky, and it's like you're playing an 8-bit video game, and he's trying to just run with the... Somehow he's a combination of both of them, and I don't understand it.
Yeah, he doesn't... Certainly not a dude like when he was younger. You go back and you watch, Travis Kelce at 24, 25, 26 years old. He had some movement to him, right? He had a good amount of speed at his size, but he hasn't gotten any smaller over the past decade. He's taken hundreds upon hundreds, if not thousands, of direct hits, whether it be courtesy of catching the football or in run blocking or pass protection. You're going to get older. It's just the nature of the beast. Father Time is undefeated, right? And, he's not the same kind of athlete that he was, but man, if he's not still an elite catcher of the football, he's so good at finding space on the field. I mean, it's unbelievable what he's able to do in finding that zone and sitting on it. And knowing that Mahomes and the relationship that those two have, and knowing, hey, he's going to find me. And, you know, early on in the game, there were a couple of instances there. That first drive, right, where they were down near the goal line and Kelce was kind of open on a little bit of like a skinny post that he ran briefly. And in those moments, you kind of expected Mahomes to find Kelce. He didn't on that play. Kelce appeared a little bit frustrated and, you know, he could have let that get him down and get dejected, but he knows how the name of the game works and just took it and kept going and was just phenomenal in this game. 913-586-7965 is our number if you want to call in and chat with us, or you can send us a message in our text line. We've got a couple of messages here. 913 saying Kelce has deceptive speed for a big man. Deceptive is, that was probably a good word to describe it 10 years ago. I'm not sure that speed is all that deceptive nowadays, right? It sort of felt like when he broke that Alshier tackle and was running at about the 10, 20 to 15 yard line, you're sort of like, unhitch the plow, Trav. Let's go, baby. Get into the end zone. And he just didn't quite have that extra gear that he usually had. Another 913 says the playoffs is when the real season starts. Kelce shines. At this point in his career, you know, Kelce's badass for a 35-year-old tight end. You better believe it. Says Mahomes is the best quarterback in the NFL. Kelce's the greatest tight end in NFL history. And then the final message I want to take a look at before we hit our break here. He says, it's hilarious. The whole internet says we're cheaters and the NFL is rigging it for us to win. Dumbest bleep I've ever heard in my life. That bleep starts with an S and ends with a T. I'll just give you that for a point of reference. And yeah, I want to have a conversation about it because not only are the, you know, trolls on the internet and people who just can't come to grips with the fact that the Chiefs are a dynasty complaining about it via social media, the Texans as an organization are complaining about it via the press conference and post-game interviews yesterday, including the man at the head of the organization, D'Amico Ryans, in full loser mentality mode yesterday, post-game, complaining about the officiating. We're going to hear audio from that and talk about it when we come back here on After Hours on 96.5 The Fan. They say winners win. What they don't tell you is that losers complain. And that is what the Houston Texans are right now, right? If you win, you're a winner. But if you lose, it seems like nowadays nobody takes responsibility. Nobody throws their hand up and says, yeah, that's my bad. Except for if you're Dan Campbell, right? Give Dan Campbell a lot of credit. Yesterday during the post-game press conference, you know, Dan Campbell, really emotional guy. I mean, he's the sort of dude that, like, if I wasn't 5'9 and 155 pounds and I was actually capable athletically to play in the NFL, that's the kind of guy that I would want to play for. That's the kind of guy that, you know, if I had a child and that child made it to the NFL, that's the sort of person that I would want them to play for. Yeah, we can crack jokes and make fun at the biting kneecaps opening presser that he did, the introductory press conference, but that's a dude who truly shows he cares. And yesterday during the post-game press conference, Dan Campbell said, it's my fault. It's all my fault that we lost this game to the Washington Commanders. You know who didn't bear any responsibility or take any sort of responsibility, throw his hands up and say, yeah, that one's on me? D'Amico Ryans yesterday. During the post-game press conference after the Texans lose to the Chiefs 23-14 as Mahomes and co. get to their seventh straight AFC championship game, D'Amico Ryans talking after the game, and he was being a little bit deceptive, but more or less saying that, you know, the Texans not only had to play against the Chiefs, but they had to play against the officiating as well.
Okay, we knew going into this game, man, it was us versus everybody, right? When I say everybody is everybody, all of whatever, everybody, the naysayers, the doubt, right? Everybody we had to go against today. And
who are the naysayers there, D'Amico? I know there are a lot of people nationally. You know, one person I remember watching a clip from Michelle Smallman of ESPN saying, I think the Chiefs are going to go one and done in this playoffs and we're going to blah, blah, blah. I saw another guy who predicted that both the Chiefs and the Lions were going to lose yesterday. I guess 50% is not all that bad, but going against the Kansas City Chiefs is not, that's not a smart move. But come on, D'Amico, you're better than that. you're better than that. Are we really going to say that, you know, the national media, who, you know, people in the media who are going, you know, picking the Chiefs or the officiating, that was the reason why you lost the game to what some may construe as questionable calls, only one of which I consider questionable by any stretch of the imagination. The Will Anderson roughing the passer was roughing the passer. From the back view of it, when you watch it initially, it looks like Will Anderson hits him in the chest, right? It hits him like sort of in that upper chest area. But when you watch the side view of it, right, when you see the sideline angle, you very clearly see Will Anderson leading with the crown of his helmet, going high and hitting Mahomes in the face mask and up under his chin strap towards the head and neck area. You went high on the quarterback while he's in a throwing position and unable to defend himself. That is textbook roughing the passer, Will. Whether you think it's a soft call or not, by definition, that is the correct call. If you want to make a complaint about the unnecessary roughness that occurred during the Mahomes scramble and slide, okay. You're not going to be able to convince me that it wasn't helmet-to-helmet contact, because it was. Not only the guy who was called for the unnecessary roughness, but the other guy, right? It's two Houston Texans both leading with...
This episode is supported by Ring, because at the end of the day, your home is your sanctuary. And with Ring, it's protected. Whether you're across the house or across the country, keeping an eye on things shouldn't be a mystery. With the battery doorbell, you can keep track of your packages and see more of what's happening at your front door in real time. If you want to make sure your yard is safe at night, the Outdoor Cam Plus delivers a wide field of view and enhanced video clarity with Retinal 2K video. And for the ultimate in detail, you can upgrade to 4K cameras and doorbells featuring Retinal Vision. It gives you ultra-clear footage that actually lets you zoom in without losing those important details. The Ring system is helpful every single day. Like a lot of us, most of our shopping is done online. There's a certain peace of mind that comes with knowing exactly when a package arrives while you're busy at work or running errands. It's not just about the technology. It's about the relief of knowing your home is secure. It's incredibly easy to set up, and it gives you that extra layer of protection for what matters most. Your door, your yard, your home, your peace of mind. With Ring, it's protected. Shop cameras, doorbells, and more right now at ring.com.
Game day at my place is kind of a big deal. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor patio setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking championship level fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game and head to Wayfair.com now to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
With networks like Fox News, CNN, MS Now, and more, Sling is the best way to get the news you care about, which is great for everyone. Well, almost everyone.
Where's that dang paper, boy? I need my news outdated and rolled up like a burrito. Finally! Now I can read about what happened forever ago.
Get the most important news delivered reliably at the best price. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com/news. See your offer.
In Pittsburgh, we've always forged things. We just forge them differently now. Flavors bold enough to stop you mid-bite. Art bright enough to change the way you see the world. Neighborhoods alive with color, music, and motion. In Pittsburgh, everything we ever forged was made to spark something more. Come see what sparks you at visitpittsburgh.com.
The crown of the helmet, you can't see either one of their faces during the play because they both just throw their head down and hit Mahomes in the head. Now, Mahomes absolutely slid late. It was a late slide. But by definition, by rule, that is an unnecessary roughness penalty. The NFL, in my view, should change that rule. I mean, I was, you know, following the game yesterday, and I'm going through Twitter right after that call was made, and Carrington raised a good point. They should change the rule to where you're not allowed to slide anymore as a quarterback. I mean, if you get outside the pocket with the athletic ability of quarterbacks nowadays, put the responsibility on the quarterback. As soon as you get outside the pocket and you tuck it away and run and you pass the line of scrimmage, you're a runner. You've got to protect yourself like a runner of the football. But right now, that's not the rule. So yes, Mahomes slid late, but you led with the crown of your helmet and you hit Mahomes in the head. after he was down on the ground. That's the rule. But yes, let's blame the naysayers and the officiating and this and that and the other. Let's not blame the fact, D'Amico, that your offensive line gave up 8 sacks. 8. Let's not blame the fact that your offensive coordinator thought it would be a great idea, not on one occasion, but on multiple occasions, to put Dalton Schultz and a running back on George Karlaftis in an obvious passing situation. Yes, because Dalton Schultz is going to be able to contend with George Karlaftis for 4 quarters. Come on. Let's not blame that, right? Let's not blame the fact that Azeez Al-Shaair could not cover Travis Kelce with a wet blanket in that game. You let a 35-year-old tight end go bananas on you for 4 quarters. Let's not blame it on the fact that you, with less than 15 seconds left on the play clock, decided, yeah, let's go for it on 4th down and not burn a timeout and try to get our collective thoughts together. Let's just try to scramble and do this late and not give the offensive line any time to set up a protection, not let C.J. Stroud see what the defense looked like before the snap. And you allowed George Karlaftis to come off the edge very, very quickly with a great jump off the line of scrimmage and generate a sack. Oh, and let's not blame it on the fact that you missed 3 kicks. Let's not blame it on the fact that you tried to make your kicker, Kaimi Fairbairn, kick a 55-yarder directly into the wind at Arrowhead Stadium, which Fairbairn had said pregame to both the coaching staff and the media that he wasn't sure what his range was from that side of the field because of the wind, because of how hard it is to kick on that side of the field at Arrowhead if you're not accustomed to it. And I can assure you, a guy who is from Hawaii, kicked at UCLA, and then was drafted by the Houston Texans to play in a dome stadium is not used to kicking in 20-mile-an-hour winds in 10-degree weather. But you threw him out there anyway, didn't you? Let's not blame it on the fact that when you had an opportunity to tie the game at 13 after the Joe Mixon touchdown from that really long touchdown drive they had in the 3rd quarter, he missed it wide right. And let's not blame it on the fact that in the 4th quarter, down by 2 scores, trying to make it an 8-point game, Fairbairn tried to kick it low to keep it out of the wind because he's kicking on the same side of the field, and Leo Chanel got another block this season, his 2nd of the year. Let's not blame it on any of that. Let's blame it on the officiating. And when you have a coach that doesn't take responsibility for their actions, players feed off the coaching staff. They take on a little bit of the personality of their coaches. That's why you don't hear the Chiefs complaining about the officiating, because Andy Reid won't do it, because Andy Reid is a consummate professional. But D'Amico Ryans is going to make those complaints. So his players are going to make those complaints, including his star young edge rusher, a guy who's an emerging superstar in this league, in my view, and Will Anderson, who had this to say to the media after the loss.
We knew it was going to be us against the refs going into this game. And, you know, I talked to you guys early this week. And I was just telling them, like, man, like, we got to go out there and we got to do us better. And, you know, in some instances we didn't do that, in some instances we did. So we just got to keep going, man. Next offseason, you know, get the guys together, man, and, you know, everybody just coming together and just keep building that team chemistry and get past this hump.
Come on, man. You're better than that. He's a young guy, so, you know, maybe he doesn't know any better. But that's a Will Anderson who grew up in the Nick Saban system, right? That's where he cut his teeth in college, was under Nick Saban at the University of Alabama. Another guy who's a consummate professional and accepts the win graciously and accepts the loss with responsibility. To not take any responsibility for the actions of your players and your coaching staff and poor clock management, D'Amico Ryans, that's not a good move. And, you know, for you to allow your players to speak like that after the game, just not it. And the Chiefs, you know, they certainly had some fun with it after the game. You know, I really enjoyed Jalen Watson on Twitter yesterday, at Jalen Watson 12, right, who says, "I miss when grown men took their losses like a man, a new day and age, though." That it is. That it is. Guys used to put their hands up in the air and say, "Yeah, man, that's my bad. That's my bad. We didn't play well enough to win." Nope. Let's complain about 2 questionable calls and one that was really not that questionable as the excuse for why you lost by 2 scores. That's the reason you lost. Sure. After Hours here on 96.5 The Fan, Logan Weber here with you. Producer for this morning's show is Quentin Morris. Coming up, we're going to talk a lot more Chiefs. We're going to talk college football playoff national championship, other divisional round games in the NFL, and big day yesterday if you were a fan of Kansas or Mizzou, as both of their clubs picked up big wins yesterday, much to the chagrin of the guy in the room next to me over here, Mr. Quentin Morris. This is your home for Kansas City sports, 96.5 The Fan. Glad we got that out of our system. D'Amico Ryans, Will Anderson, and the Houston Texans. What a sad way to go out. Taking over, you had such a good year. You know, you had your struggles. You dealt with so many injuries with the loss of Stephon Diggs. Nico Collins missed a good chunk of the year. You lose Tank Dell in that Chiefs game with that, you know, horrendous injury that he had. You know, you had injury issues coming into this game. You know, was Joe Mixon going to play? Was Azeez Al-Shaair going to play? Was Robert Woods going to play? All three of them did and had moments in the game, right? Woods didn't play all that much, but he had a big play. You know, Matt Araiza had a really good punt. Joshua Williams had an opportunity to down it near the goal line, and Woods just gave him enough of a block to allow that ball to roll into the end zone. Joe Mixon had 88 yards on the ground and a touchdown. He was really effective. Al-Shaair might have been better if he didn't play, because Travis Kelce worked him for four quarters. It was unreal. Our number, 913-586-7965, if you want to call in and chat with us. Or you can send us a message through our text line. We got a lot of messages during that last segment talking about D'Amico Ryans and Will Anderson and the Texans and their inability to take responsibility for the loss yesterday. Got a 918 here who says, "Hey, Houston Texans, and any other team in the NFL, when you were going up against a great coach and amazing players who are building and have a dynasty like the Chiefs and have fans like Chiefs Kingdom, yes, sir. Of course you are going to feel like it's you against everyone, because it is."
We got those Swifties on our side now.
You
so
better believe it.
We like doubled Chiefs Kingdom.
As an Iowa fan, right, Quentin, I think you can solidify to our fans, you know, to the listeners, I am actively wearing an Iowa sweatshirt as we speak.
I didn't know they even made those, so that's crazy.
Oh, that was hurtful. Well, Quentin, now I feel less bad for what we're going to talk about a little bit later
on
the show with the win Kansas got yesterday. But I'm a huge Iowa fan. My dad grew up in the state of Iowa and, you know, moved down to my hometown of Lawson, Missouri in like junior high, met my mom. So I grew up an Iowa fan because my dad was. Yesterday, seeing Caitlin Clark, who has been a lifelong Kansas City Chiefs fan, you know, I've known that for years, dating back to when she was, you know, freshman at the University of Iowa, coming in as a five-star and McDonald's All-American, watching her play for the Iowa women's team, knew she was a Chiefs fan. But to see her sitting in a press box next to Taylor Swift yesterday, I mean, again, like, what is our life right now as Chiefs fans? We're sitting here watching a dynasty at work go to seven straight AFC championship games, winning three Super Bowls, going to four in 6 years, and you've got the most popular woman on planet Earth in Taylor Swift dating Travis Kelce, going to Chiefs games, sitting at Arrowhead, cheering aloud in the boot in the box with Travis's parents. Oh, and then there's Caitlin Clark, the AP Female Athlete of the Year, who is, again, a giant Taylor Swift fan, met her at an Eras tour, and then gets invited to sit in the box. And they're, like, hugging and stuff. Like, after Trav scored that touchdown, you know, they're hugging in the box. I'm sure she's thinking, what is my life right now? And us as Chiefs fans are like, we've got the most popular female athlete in the world cheering on the Kansas City Chiefs. We've got the most popular female in the world cheering on the Kansas City Chiefs. And talking about, you know, the women behind the Kansas City Chiefs, I haven't heard many people talking about Brittany Mahomes. She was at the game yesterday. She had a child 5 days ago. She is 5 days postpartum, and she's at the Chiefs game supporting her husband. That's absolutely unreal. Unbelievable. That shows you the level of care and love that she has for that man. To be 5 days after giving birth to a child, she is standing there pregame on the sideline in 10 degree weather, 20 mile an hour winds, cheering on her husband, and then is up in the box watching their children, right? Her kids were there, right? You saw the post-game press conference when Mahomes got done. Bronze is sitting there, and she's talking to members of the media and all the. She's like, why are you? He's like, why are you talking, Bronze? Let's go. We got to go home. That's unreal. Absolutely unbelievable what we're witnessing. Got an 816 saying, we're witnessing two dynasties. Taylor Swift's dynasty is its own thing. LOL. Yeah, the Eras Tour is a... That is absolutely unreal. People whining on Twitter really suck. Yeah, they do. Twitter's fun, but Twitter's also a cesspool, right? It is what it is.
Yeah.
You kind of got to... It's a give and a take. It's a good and a bad. And, you know, what Twitter's going to look like now, who knows?
Yeah, like, you know, here's just a good comparison. When, what was it, Williams that scored the Lions touchdown? What the internet was saying about the Williams touchdown dance versus, you know, A-tier Twitter. what the world was saying about the reffing in the Chiefs game, F Twitter,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, fair point. Yeah, it's funny, you know, talking like what Twitter's going to look like now. I feel like a lot of people may end up gravitating back towards Twitter again because, you know, like last night I'm doing post-game coverage of the Kansas City Chiefs and I go to open up my TikTok feed. Nothing. TikTok officially banned in the United States. I couldn't get on TikTok. I couldn't watch high quality. I spent like an hour and a half yesterday afternoon before the Chiefs game started just watching edits. Just watching Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, Chiefs playoff edits over and over and over again, getting myself hyped up for what we might see yesterday afternoon, and it certainly lived up to that. 660 says, we need to talk about the coaching clinic that Andy put on by taking a safety at the end of the game to avoid something funny happening. And yeah, that's exactly right. At that point in the game, you're up by two scores. You're up 11. So taking the safety still makes it a two-possession game. So the Texans still got to score twice regardless. Whether they want to win or tie, they got to score twice. So in that fourth down situation, just telling Matt Araiza, run out of the back of the end zone. Run out of the back of the end zone. Now, if you were somebody who decided to put some money on the game late, right? The game, when it opened earlier this week, Chiefs were 8.5-point favorites. And then I think late afternoon, early evening Friday, I think the line moved to Chiefs at -9. Chiefs -9. And then just before kickoff, you know, in the hours leading up Saturday afternoon, yesterday afternoon, the line actually moved to -9.5. If you were one of those people who took the Chiefs at -9.5 to cover, that safety was diabolical levels of Scott Van Pelt's bad beats. Absolutely unreal. But it was the right move for Andy, you know, to take that safety, you kick it away to him. Now Houston's got to score twice to win or to tie the game. And, you know, they drive down the field, down by 9. They got an opportunity to kick that field goal there to make things a little bit more. But block. No, that was prior. That was when it was still an 11-point game with the blocked field goal. That was absolutely the right move at that point in the game. And you ate off a bunch of clock. Give Matt Araiza a ton of credit, right? He could have just ran right out of the back of the end zone. But, he looked around. He took his time, wasted another 3 or 4 precious seconds, and then ran out of the side of the end zone rather than right through the back of the end zone. By the time they punted it away, they had like 8 seconds, did the Houston Texans. And with the injury to C.J. Stroud, they just kind of took their knee and waved the proverbial white flag. So huge for the Kansas City Chiefs to get that win. We have so much more to get to here today. Of course, you had another divisional round playoff game yesterday on the NFC side, Commanders-Lions. Boy, I can honestly say I thought it was going to be a high-scoring game, but I did not see it going the way it did. Jaden Daniels and the Commanders putting on a show. We're going to talk about that when we come back. This is After Hours with Logan Weber and Quentin Morris, our producer, here on 96.5 The Fan. The list of rookie quarterbacks to carry their team to an NFC championship game is small. Small. I mean, you look at the list of guys that have done it. It is not a very extensive list. You look, Sean King did it with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in 1999. First rookie quarterback to do that. Big Ben Roethlisberger did it in 2004 with the Steelers. Joe Flacco did it in 2008 with the Baltimore Ravens. Now, I would say Roethlisberger and Flacco and Sean King benefited from elite defenses, some of the best defenses we've seen in the last 25 years.
When I'm your producer, I like to refer to him as Joe Flacco. Oh. So, just so you know.
Come on, man. Joe Flacco is like the ultimate mid-season call-up guy.
Joe
Flacco. Joe Flacco. Man, that's tough. Talking about flukes, how about Mark Sanchez in 2009?
Mr. Butt Fumble himself.
Yes, took the Jets to an AFC Championship game where they lost to the Indianapolis Colts.
What's crazier, him making it to a championship game or the Jaguars Blake Bortles making it to a championship game? Which one's crazier?
Dude, that's what an elite defense will do, right? I mean, that Jaguars defense in that era was so unbelievably good. And now they're a dumpster fire again. But most recently, the last rookie quarterback to take his team to a conference championship game, Brock Purdy, who did it in 2022 with the Niners against the Eagles. They lost that game. He tore his UCL during it. A rookie quarterback has never started and won a conference championship game. It's never happened. Jaden Daniels will now have an opportunity against either the Rams or the Eagles. As the Commanders beat the Lions yesterday, 45-31, and Daniels was spectacular. 22 of 31, 299 through the air, two touchdowns, no picks. He was not sacked in the game. He also had 51 yards on the ground. They scored 45 points. I mean, it was 31-21 at halftime. They scored 42 points combined in the second quarter of that football game. It was 7-3 Detroit at the end of one. And you're sort of like, okay, there's been some offense in this game, but honestly, the defenses have been okay. Second quarter, no defense. I think both defenses at the end of quarter one decided we're going to take this break. We're going to go back to the bus. We're going to reevaluate. And they just didn't come back out. Washington scored 28 points in the second quarter. Now, some of that buoyed by the fact that there were two Detroit turnovers. You had a strip sack fumble of Jared Goff and a pick six by Jared Goff. And that Jared Goff pick six, that went from bad to worse, right? He got injury added to insult because he throws the pick and then the return occurs. Goff's trying to make a play and he gets walloped. I mean, he got smoked trying to make a play, which that's, you know, you kind of talk about, you know, it's kind of an unwritten rule when a quarterback throws a pick and there's a return, right? A lot of times you'll see a linebacker or a defensive lineman kind of turn and okay, where's the quarterback, right? Rather than being a lead blocker in a sense, they're like, where's the quarterback? They're going to make him pay because now you're in a situation where you can hit him, right? He's no longer a quarterback. He's no longer a passer. He's a tackler. So they lay the boom on quarterbacks quite a bit, and Jared Goff took an absolute shot, and it kind of rattled him. Goff finished with three interceptions in the game. One of them came out late in that final drive with Detroit trying to make something happen. They had a wide receiver pass by Jameson Williams get picked. They turned the ball over five times. Washington did not have a single turnover in this game. As Detroit, the best team they've had in franchise history, many said. Team that was a Super Bowl favorite. They had the best odds. Well, talk about the Chiefs. They play ugly and win. Emphasis on the win. You can play ugly and win. I'd rather have that than be Detroit, play pretty all season, and then ultimately come up short. That's going to do it for hour one here on After Hours. We got two more great hours coming at you next, right here on your home for Kansas City Sports, 96.5 The Fan.
This episode is supported by Ring, because at the end of the day, your home is your sanctuary. And with Ring, it's protected. Whether you're across the house or across the country, keeping an eye on things shouldn't be a mystery. With the battery doorbell, you can keep track of your packages and see more of what's happening at your front door in real time. If you want to make sure your yard is safe at night, the Outdoor Cam Plus delivers a wide field of view and enhanced video clarity with Retinal 2K video. And for the ultimate in detail, you can upgrade to 4K cameras and doorbells featuring Retinal Vision. It gives you ultra-clear footage that actually lets you zoom in without losing those important details. The Ring system is helpful every single day. Like a lot of us, most of our shopping is done online. There's a certain peace of mind that comes with knowing exactly when a package arrives while you're busy at work or running errands. It's not just about the technology. It's about the relief of knowing your home is secure. It's incredibly easy to set up, and it gives you that extra layer of protection for what matters most. Your door, your yard, your home, your peace of mind. With Ring, it's protected. Shop cameras, doorbells, and more right now at ring.com.
In Pittsburgh, we've always forged things. We just forge them differently now. Flavors bold enough to stop you mid-bite. Art bright enough to change the way you see the world. Neighborhoods alive with color, music, and motion. In Pittsburgh, everything we ever forged was made to spark something more. Come see what sparks you at visitpittsburgh.com.
Hi, I'm Steph, and I work at United Healthcare. When I think about United Healthcare's members, I think of my own family. My niece was diagnosed with an ultra-rare genetic disorder. I know how hard it is for families. At United Healthcare, we can make it easier.
I'm Brian. I care because I know what it's like to not speak the language. It's not easy. Health insurance is complicated. I would say our job is to make everything easy for our UHC members. I work for United Healthcare. I'm committed to care.
Whoa, okay. This one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do, hon.
Huh. The T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years. And their latest experience plans have Netflix included, plus a year of Dash Pass by DoorDash.
Mm-mm-mm. Hang on, let me see that. Oh, yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now or...
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day. And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported 90 plus days with device and carrier and timely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks. No cash access and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. Member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.
As women, we all wake up one day and realize that youth, marriage, and perfect skin don't come with a refund policy. If that hits home, Party's Over is good for you. It's the show where beauty, heartbreak, and brutal honesty collide. Each week, beauty rebel and author of BS to Botox, Sandralina Silverman, and her guests spill the truth about aging, love, and everything in between. Expect laughter, wisdom, and the occasional Botox confession. Real women, real stories, real talk. Download Party's Over today on the Odyssey app.